I recently heard someone say that fear is often based on facts, but not the truth. And it got my attention because so much of what we fear is based on an actual event, meaning it's a fact that maybe a terrible thing happened to you that caused this fear, which maybe in the future prevents you from doing certain things because that fear tries to act as a protectant. But the reality is that in the future, most of the fear that we have is not based on truth. In August of this year, I had started my own trauma therapy, and in this time of healing, I have learned something about myself, that my body doesn't trust joy. So if you are someone who expects the worst case scenario because it just feels safer than hoping, this episode is for you. I realized my body kind of braces for joy. It just wants to know, like, is this going to last? Is there something else that's going to happen? And so I would find myself getting really excited about things, but then my body was like, that's unsafe. And it would start to kind of come out of that. And I just learned in this process that my body doesn't quite trust joy yet. And so if I look at this from just the brain's response and kind of a survival response, because it doesn't make sense. It's not logical, because I should be able to say I'm having fun and this is great and having that joy. But when the brain senses uncertainty, it looks for potential threats to keep you safe. And that's just your amygdala, right? Your brain's alarm system. And it's becoming hypervigilant and it starts scanning for danger, because this is where it has a hard time telling the difference between an emotional threat, like what if this happens, you know, insert the blank, what if XYZ happens, and a physical one, like if a stranger's walking towards you or if a car hits me or something like that. It prepares you for both imagining the worst possible outcome. And even in my own story of learning that my body doesn't quite trust joy yet, it's been interesting to where it immediately starts scanning, and I have to remind myself and my body, we're okay and it's safe and it's okay to have fun and enjoy this moment. It often feels like your body's against you sometimes, right? And it's not. The goal is not to hurt you. It's just to prevent future disappointment, pain, and rejection before it ever happens. Inside my signature course, Untangle Your Thoughts, I help women break free from the spiraling thoughts that keep them stuck, and they learn emotional regulation rooted in truth. It's a self-paced course for women overwhelmed by fear, survival patterns, and their emotions. And what I've learned in helping so many women is that you don't need more information. You need tools that actually make a difference in your daily life. So if you are somebody that just feels stuck, if you're ready for change, I highly recommend getting my course today, Untangle Your Thoughts. Head to the show notes, click on the link, and it will take you right there. But the thought behind kind of this whole expecting the worst case scenario kind of is often learned from some of our own patterns, our patterns of thinking, whether it's catastrophizing, where you might take one small issue and you can easily make it into something bigger. Maybe it's this, you're looking for confirmation. So oftentimes when I'm working with clients inside of my course or one-on-one, is I'm reminding them that they're actually looking for evidence to support their fear. So if something happens in your life, you go, see, it always goes wrong. And I'm sure you can even think of a situation right now where it could be happening into your life and you are proving to yourself that this is real. Another one is control. I've been talking a lot about this in my own personal life, in my own trauma therapy, what this looks like practically, how it shows up in our life. But really, it's you wanting to predict or prepare for the worst so that you can control your level of discomfort and pain. This is another one that happens with so many of my clients that I work with, all or nothing thinking. It's if it doesn't go perfectly, it's going to go horribly wrong. It's either or to so many people. And if we were to strip everything away, strip all these thought patterns and things that have happened, underneath all of that, when we're really thinking about the worst case scenario, it's one belief. And that is that being hopeful feels risky. Because if I hope for something good, I could be hurt. So fear then feels safer than faith. If we stripped it all away, that's really what we're saying. It feels hard to hope because we've had unhealed disappointment or things that have happened in our life. When our nervous system feels stuck in that hypervigilant mode, that fight or flight, it's constantly scanning for the next thing to go wrong. Maybe growing up, we have lacked this kind of emotional safety, or maybe you felt great as a child, but as an adult, maybe you got into an unhealthy relationship. And really, this can all come down to a distorted view of God or our need to control. That's why it feels so hard to hope. Things we've gone through, we live in this broken world with sin, broken by sin. And for some to even pray feels hard as well, because you were praying for one thing and it didn't happen and it broke your heart. And so to hope again, to pray again, feels risky. It feels unsafe. And so we protect ourselves. And the thing that we do, though, to protect ourselves is through self-protection, self-reliance, and fear. So for us, then, when some of those scary thoughts show up, your brain is trying to figure out if it can believe it, or if it can figure it out and make sense of it, that maybe you'll feel safe. But really, that's a trap for us to try to control the situation. It's your brain's way of trying to come up with the worst case scenario so that you feel like you've problem solved and got it all taken care of, instead of really being with the Lord and saying, Lord, do I trust you with this? What is going on here? I may not understand, but no matter what, I know that you have good for me. And the thing is that then we also start to analyze, and then our brain starts getting stuck kind of in this problem-solving mode. And when we try to problem-solve our pain and our fear, it keeps our nervous system on this alert saying, okay, this is a threat and this is dangerous. So we have to keep bringing it up. Now, two things to kind of work through not expecting the worst case scenario and start trusting God. I want to try to keep this simple. Is we don't want to analyze the situation. So when a thought arises, the three-step approach that is mentioned inside of my course, but also I do with my one-on-one coaching clients, is we have to notice it, name it, and redirect it. So we have to notice what is actually happening. Oh, this is a fear thought. Then we have to allow it to pass through, meaning we have to stop fighting our thoughts, fighting against it, because it's too fearful to think about it. And that's protection. That's control. You're trying to control how much pain you want to feel. So you don't want to fight it and you don't want to follow it. I personally like to think about a cloud passing by on a river. I'm watching it on a TV screen and it passes by. So you don't have to chase it or push it away. And again, redirect it to the present. So you want to get in your body. What are you doing in that moment? What can you feel in your body? What's around you that's safe? And this teaches your brain that thoughts are just mental events. This is not an emergency, whatever is happening. So again, this is probably, not going to lie, one of the hardest things to learn is we can take the thought captive and make it obedient to truth, which make it obedient to Christ. But we don't have to analyze, prove, fight it. We just have to make it obey the truth. That means we can let it pass through as we remind ourselves of the truth. We do not have to argue with every thought, but we do when we're trying to trust God and stop expecting the worst case. We have to start healing. Okay. Because again, this isn't going to solve everything, as you know, in 10 to 15 minute episode. But we really do might have to realize I need some help with my confirmation of my fears. I need help to stop catastrophizing. I need help working through some pain or not living in fight or flight. I need help with stress management. I need to relearn my view of God that's been learned through pain that I've experienced in this world. So there are things that we actually have to start to process physically in our body. And a lot of that is our thoughts. What comes for us to not fear that so that we can stop expecting worst case scenarios and realize that, hands open, pain is going to come and go just as much as healing is going to come and we will be healed. The second thing and the last thing is, again, the power of just not engaging. Every time you have a thought, you don't have to engage or analyze because your brain learns a new pattern. You start to think, your body starts to go, well, that thought wasn't dangerous. I don't need to fix it or explain it. That's how the fear circuit weakens inside of you. It's through disinterest. It's through not arguing. Maybe this is completely new for you because it was completely new for me. I just always wanted to know the answer and the why, and I'd fight it. And I just realized that's me controlling how much pain I feel and how much I won't let my body actually experience things that I've experienced. I've really learned what it means to feel it, to heal it physically. And this is really a powerful form of exposure and rewiring, which is really where renewing your mind comes in. So again, don't analyze. Don't engage with every thought. Don't fight it. Don't follow it. We want to notice it and we want to allow it to pass through, but we have to redirect it to truth as well. And just reminding ourselves that we don't have to engage or analyze because in that process, our brain learns new patterns, but we might again have to stop and think, what am I forcing myself through that maybe I need to slow down and heal from? I know that you can do this because I myself have done it and am doing it right now. You're not alone in this process. And two ways that we can work on this together is go ahead and get my signature course, Untangle Your Thoughts. Or two, if you want a more in-depth approach, book a free consultation with me for us to work together one-on-one. And all the links for that will be in the show notes, or you can go to jessicahoddle.com. As always, don't forget to challenge the way you think to change the way you live. I hope you loved today's episode. I pray that it challenged you to see the goodness of God in your life and that whatever you are going through, God is with you and not punishing you. Share this episode with someone who has been praying for a mental breakthrough. Sometimes all we need is someone explaining something in a new and fresh way to get that breakthrough. Also, would you take 30 seconds to leave me a rating and review? It brings me so much joy to read them, and it's a way that lets me know you're enjoying the podcast. Lastly, go get my free 3-day study on how to deal with emotions in a biblical way. Psalm 18:19 reminds me of this. God delivers you because he delights in you. Don't forget that. I'll see you in a few days.